Hebrews 10, verse 32, please. And in Hebrews 10 and verse 32, the Bible says, "But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. Ye had compassion of me in my bonds." Does that sound like anybody to you? Me too. "And took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this rich, rich book of Hebrews. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we labor over it again once tonight, that you would show us truth. These are deep things and not easy things to get. Help us to have a spirit of the Bereans who will study it. Lord, I pray that you would speak and encourage hearts tonight through your word. Bless, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's not an easy thing to discipline one of your children, is it? You have to use stern words. And as you're speaking to them in that stern tone, you see their lip quiver a little bit. And if you've got a pretty crier, you know there's pretty criers and ugly criers, don't you? Pretty criers are the ones that they never go like that. It's just this huge tear starts here. And you just see it come down. It would get right about here if my daughter did it, and I'd say, "Well, your mother shouldn't have told me what you did. You don't deserve spanked. Your mother deserves spanked." And boy, it would just, they don't whimper, it just comes down. I am not one of them kind of criers, are you? It's just horrible it's ugly when I cry. It's terrible. My daughter said to me today, she said, "I've never seen you cry." And I said, "I have, and you'll never see me cry. It'd mark you. It would scare you. It really would." That's not so. But sometimes you have to discipline your kids, and after you've disciplined them, as difficult as a moment it is to do that, there's a real sweet moment after. And the real sweet moment after is when you pick them up and when fellowship is restored and when you tell them they can do better and you're going to help them do better and you're going to love them and work on them and do that with them. It's just a sweet time when that occurs. Well, I think that's it's a similar scene to what we have here in Hebrews chapter 10. The writer of Hebrews has said some very stern things. Boy, especially in the message that we looked at last week from these verses that precede our text tonight, there were some stern warnings in there, and there were some real strong admonitions in there. And now we come to this passage where we're finishing what I'm going to call the doctrinal portion of the book of Hebrews. And the writer of Hebrews is going to kind of gather it all up and say, in encouraging ways, you can do this, you can make this. And then, of course, he's going to give us those rich, rich examples of people who endured and persevered by faith all through Hebrews chapter 11. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful moment. Now the writer encourages them to do two things. Number one, to remember the past. But number two, to respond in the present. Notice those two things with me. Number one, he encourages them, remember the past. The writer reminds them that it's always been difficult to be a believer in and around the city of Rome, and especially if you were saved out of Judaism. The warning, or the words in verse 32, look at them again. Call to remembrance. In other words, I want you to remember, this has never been an easy thing. Call to remembrance those former days, in which after ye were illuminated. Now that doesn't mean they put Christmas lights on. That means that the Holy Spirit of God spoke to them and they got saved. Ye endured a great fight of afflictions. They didn't get saved and somebody threw them a party. They got saved and the people around them hated them for getting saved because it cast a shadow on the paganism of those that they were around. Partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches. Hey, it's one thing to be reproached. In other words, somebody makes fun of you, somebody mocks you, somebody scorns you for having trusted Christ. But notice, not just reproaches, and afflictions. They paid a real price for trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. And partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. In the midst of this, they became friends to those who were under the same affliction. And I would suggest, I think I know a fella who was in jail in Rome under the persecution of Nero. You? For you had compassion of me in my bonds. People are always asking, who wrote the book of Hebrews? Well, I won't say it publicly, but I'll say it privately if you ask me, because I believe I know. Most of the commentators that I read reference verse 32 and 34, 33 and 34 to an event that took place about 15 years before the persecution that we're talking about now. It was under the reign of Claudius, who was the first persecutor of believers in Rome. And it's written in a book. If you want to get the book, it's by a Roman historian named Suetonius. He's just in all the libraries. But Suetonius wrote this, and I quote, "There were riots in the Jewish quarter at the instigation of Crestus. As a result, Claudius expelled the Jews and Christians from Rome." Now, Crestus is a word for Christ. And here's what he's explaining, that when the gospel swept through Rome, a lot of those Jews got saved. And a lot of people at the synagogues didn't like those Jews getting saved. And so they put those Jewish believers out of the synagogue, and literally the ruckus was so great that there was a riot in the Jewish quarter of Rome. And Claudius didn't like any of them. Rome hated Jerusalem, and Roman emperors were not partial to Jews. And so Claudius saw this as an opportunity to persecute the Jews, to get rid of them. And along with that, the Jews got angry because they were angry at the Jews who were now believers. And so they threw them out while Claudius was trying to throw the Jews out. Can you see why there were good feelings between the Jews and Jewish believers? I'm not trying to be silly, but sometimes we forget that there are real historical events to back these things up. And the Jewish believers, there was influence that kept the Jews in the quarter, in the quarters and in the synagogues, but what eventually happened was those that lost their homes, those that lost their businesses, those that lost their jobs were those Jews who had trusted Christ when the gospel was preached in Rome under Claudius, and they had been persecuted then, and now they're being persecuted again under Nero. And the writer of Hebrews says, hey, would you remember that God was faithful then? And God will be faithful to you now. That word that is used, fight, in verse 32 is the word athelesis. And it means literally they had to contend. They had to physically contend for their lives and for their places. And then they lost. Their livelihoods were gone. Their families in many ways were hurt. And I don't know about you, but sometimes after the adrenaline of the crisis has gone, the battle and the spirit of a man can grow weary. It can grow fearful. It can maybe not be able to face it again. Have you ever come to that place in your life about something in your life that gives you trouble or something that is so hard that you face and you say to yourself, I don't know if I can go through that again. You ever done that? You ever been overwhelmed in that way? I don't know if I can do that again. I don't know if I can face that person again. I don't know if I can face this situation again. Would you understand that that's where a lot of these folks are? I don't know if I can do this again. And I just don't know if this is worth it. Maybe it's just better if I just backed away and church, you go on, but I don't know if I can go through this again. When you stop and think about what they went through, the Bible says they had become gazing stocks. That's a great word. The Greek word is theatriso. We get our word theater from it. They had been the public entertainment in Rome. Will you please remember and again connect it to the history you know that the Romans were famous for putting people into the center of arenas and taking great joy and entertainment from seeing them battle and die? And it was entertainment to the Romans who saw these Jewish believers being persecuted, being run out of town. It was entertainment to Nero to string a family across the Circus Maximus and let the chariots be turned loose with the horses and run them down. It was entertainment to Nero to stand them out in the middle of that great Colosseum and lift the lions up those elevators and let the lions out and see those Christian mothers and fathers and children devoured while the people cheered. And it's no wonder to me that somebody might say, I don't know if I can do that again. I don't know if I can go through this again. The writer of Hebrews speaks to these people. He says, listen, when it was under Claudius, you stood. When it was under Claudius, you had faith. When it was under Claudius, you befriended those who were in bonds down in the Mamertine prison. You cared for them. Hey, listen, they didn't provide you three warm meals when you were in the Mamertine prison in Rome. If you got fed, somebody that cared about you brought it. And these people who are now quelling in fear had had the courage under that first persecution when they had been thrown out of the synagogue. They had the courage to go down to that preacher sitting in that jail and bring him a blanket and bring him his scrolls and bring him food and take care of him. And they didn't care who saw him do it. Now that writer says, listen, it's come back around. Here we go again. But God was with you in that first case. Don't turn back now, even though you were a gazing stock then, and no doubt will be a gazing stock again. Don't turn back. What an outstanding testimony this little church had. I wish that we had a time machine. I wish that I had the eloquence of a preacher that could put you in a capsule and go back. You wouldn't be meeting in this room tonight. You'd be meeting in a little living room of a house. I don't even know if you'd call it a living room. You'd be meeting out in the little forum of a little home where maybe 10 or 15 or 20 would be gathered together. And we'd be reading this epistle from the writer who was encouraging us, reminding us of how we stood before and how we need to stand again, and reminding us of what our testimony had been and how in the face of great danger we had stood. And now this writer is encouraging us, listen, God has not changed. Stand. Stand fast. Look what he says in verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Here's what he wanted them to do in the present. Number one, he wanted them to respond in confidence. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Let me remind us of all of something. Their confidence and ours never has to be cast away, because our confidence is not placed in men or princes. Our confidence is placed in the Lord. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. I read those verses. I read the Psalms, some portion of the Psalms every day. And often that concept is in the Psalms. And I'll tell you, when I put it in the context of our day, can I ask you a question? Who's going to save us? Oh, we get that Republican in, we'll be saved. We get that Democrat in, it'll all be okay. We need that Green Party. We need that Libertarian. He's the CEO of a pot business. He sells pot. And he wants to be our president. I'm sorry. I got political there. If we could just hold the Senate, if we could just figure out the House, if we could get the governor, hey, don't put your confidence in men. You will be disappointed every time. Put your confidence in the Lord. The writer of Hebrews says to these people, listen, it's not about Claudius, it's not about Nero, it's not about the priest, it's not about the rabbi, it's not about anybody but what God does for us. Put your confidence in the Lord and don't cast your confidence away. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, Solomon said, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Now was not the time to grow tentative about publicly confessing and associating themselves with the Lord. Now was the time to confidently claim Him. Reminds me of Peter and John. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Their confidence was in Jesus. Had their confidence been in a party or in a man, nobody would have taken notice of them. But their confidence being in Jesus, He had transformed their lives, and even though they were unlearned and ignorant men like Baptists, people noticed them. They took note. They've been with Jesus. Respond with confidence. I think of this dear missionary to Russia. I loved your attitude this morning. It wasn't cocky, but they passed a law that says he can't tell people about Christ publicly. Well, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to go get my guns. And not wise in Russia, right? Not wise here. But I'm also not coming home. My confidence never was in the, is it the Duma? Awesome. My confidence wasn't in Putin. My confidence is in the Lord. And if God wants to make a way, God can make a way. And that's the spirit of the writer of Hebrews. Listen, Peter and John were ignorant men. They were unlearned men. They were fishermen who had been to school at Bible college with Jesus. But they shook a world because their confidence was in Christ. Not a method, not a man, not a party, not an institution, but in Christ. Don't cast off your confidence. Hey, we live in in really confusing times. We live in times where we don't know. We don't know who's going to win, and we don't know who, if they do win, what it means. We don't know what the economy is going to do tomorrow, but don't cast off your confidence. Listen, we live in a world where Christ still reigns, and our confidence is in Him. The writer says, secondly, respond to them in patience. Look at verse 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. In a sense, it means endurance. They've got to stick to it. They've got to keep on keeping on. The crown is for finishing the race, not starting it. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying to them, I want you to stand fast. Don't cast your confidence away. God has not changed. But then he also says, look, this is not pie in the sky. There's going to be some difficulty here, but you've got to be patient. You've got to endure. I've often told this story, but I'll tell it again. I used to jog. People say, when did you quit jogging? When two 70-year-old women power walked past me. I thought that was enough. But I would jog, I would run 3 miles every morning. 3 miles every morning. And I did it for years. And I would tell myself, today's the day where it'll get easier. And honestly, I ran the same 3 miles, the same time of day, every day, and every day I had to say, be a man. Finish. It never got easier. I never liked it. I hated it. Hated it then, hate it now. You say, preacher, what's your point? I would literally have to say to myself, put your foot out in front of the other foot. Put the next foot out. As my lungs would burn, I'd say, you keep running. You be a man. You keep running. And then I would turn the corner and I would head down. We lived on a court. And I would head down the house and I'd see my wife in the door or maybe the kids. And it was amazing to me. It just became easy then. And man, I picked up the pace a little bit. I'd come into the yard and I'd say, that wasn't bad at all. But in sincerity, there was a sweetness to finishing. To finishing. And it takes endurance to finish. Don't take this wrong, but we are a generation of quitters. If there's a price, we don't want to pay it. If it's a little bit hard, we want somebody else to do it. We might do it for a month or a year, but we don't want to do it for too long. Endurance. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying is, look, I'm not going to act like there's not going to be some difficult moments in this. I'm not going to act and tell you like you're never going to wish it was over or you're never going to wish you weren't in it, but be patient and endure and run and keep running and don't give up and don't give in because the promise, you're going to receive the promise and it's a good recompense of reward. Hey, when you get to heaven and you get a crown for serving, you're not going to say, well, that ain't worth it. Number one, you're going to be amazed you got it. And number two, you're going to be glad for eternity that you can have the privilege of offering it back to the Lord Jesus Christ by whose grace you earned it. It'll be a great reward. And it will be worth it. Well, I got to be there all the time. I got to do this. And I could be doing... Hey, those are the decisions of serving the Lord. There's always somewhere else we could be. Did you realize that? There's always somewhere else we could be. There's always something else we could be doing. But there's this incredibly beautiful word called faithfulness. Faithfulness. And God loves it. And God is it. And it takes endurance to be faithful. It takes patience, commitments, and endurance to be faithful. But the reward for faithful is phenomenal. Say that fast 3 times. Here's the third thing he asks them to do. Respond with an enduring faith. Look at verse 37 again, and I'll be done. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. You know who he's talking about? Jesus. You believe Jesus will come? I do. And he'll not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith. And if any man, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back. We're not of them that quit. We are of them who walk on by faith. Those verses are a quote from Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, if you want to look at it sometime. When God gave this to Habakkuk, it was in response to the prophet's complaint about the wicked prospering. Oh, he had moaned to the Lord, "Oh, Lord, we serve you and we're faithful to you and we go through these things, but look over there. They don't serve you. Their heart's not with you, but look what they have." And Habakkuk was moaning and crying and perhaps coming to the place where he thought, "I just can't do this anymore. I just can't do this again." And he had gotten his eyes off of the Lord, and God spoke to him and got a hold of his heart. And I want you to read, I'll read it to you. But just a few verses later, after God reproves, after God gets his heart, this is Habakkuk's words then. Quote, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hen's feet, and He will make me to walk upon my high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments." You know what? We know what happened. Habakkuk got his heart changed. And Habakkuk was saying, "God, I'm going to trust you. If I look out there and there's no figs on the trees, I know you're going to feed me. If I look out there and every circumstance seems to be negative and horrible, I am not going to react by failing to serve you, by drawing back. I am going to trust you. I am going to be faithful to you. I am going to serve you." I'll tell you, if you'll let it get a hold of your heart, you'll understand how we go from chapter 10, where the writer is saying, "Listen, don't lose your confidence. Listen, you be faithful. Listen, you live by faith." And we're going to spend the next fabulous chapter in the Word of God seeing examples of those who, by faith, built an ark, found the city that wasn't made with hands, who, by faith, lived out God's plan for their lives. By faith, they endured. Faith is everything. Think about this tiny church. They had endured and survived the persecution under Claudius. It had been a long time, and they were just beginning to recover, perhaps. And now they sensed it coming. They were going to undergo a persecution under Nero. And they said, I just don't know if I can go through this again. I don't know if I can face this again. I don't know if I can do this again. And I may turn back and, hey, look, I just may not come to meetings anymore. I just may put my attention over here." And the writer of Hebrews says, "Don't cast your confidence away. God is working. And God will supply. And God will help you to endure. God will be faithful to you. You be faithful to Him." He says, "You remember how God worked in that persecution under Claudius. You remember that. You didn't think you'd make it through that, but you remember that." I'm amazed as we study the book of Joshua, and I know I've said it a dozen times, but that guy has stacked rocks everywhere he's gone. He stacked rocks in Jordan, on this side of Jordan. He stacked rocks at Jericho. He stacked rocks at Ai. He stacked rocks. He just stacks rocks everywhere. You say, preacher, why does he stack rocks? Because he knows tomorrow holds another challenge and another fight and another struggle where his heart might say, I just don't know if I can face it again. I just don't know if this is worth it. And the Lord takes his hand and he takes him back to that stack of rocks at Gilgal, and that stack of rocks at Merom, and that stack of rocks at Jericho, and that stack of rocks at Ai, and that stack of rocks down there at the Jordan. And Joshua's thought after that is, oh yeah, we've been through this before. And oh yeah, God, you can do this. And oh yeah, God, I can endure. And oh yeah, God, by faith, I can receive the promise. Oh yeah, God, I can receive that great recompense of reward. And God, thank you for reminding me that there was a persecution under Claudius that I thought would be my end, but you saved me and delivered me and helped me, and I can face this under Nero, and I'm not going to turn back. And may that message be to every one of us. Yeah, we can face it again. Yeah, we can serve another day. We can do it another year. We can give another week. We can do it again, and we can do it again, and we can endure, because by faith we can be like the people of chapter 11 who by faith accomplish God's purpose for their lives. Don't turn back. Don't cast your confidence away. Get some endurance about you. And by faith, finish the path that God has for you. What a book! God help us to see it.